Moment & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. We've got TD in the house for the TD Power Hour. Teron Davenport presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. CraneWorks and RentalWorks, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. Caroline Fenton joined by Mark Howard filling in for Jared Stillman. And I want to get into a little bit of the defensive side of the ball, but the Thursday injury report was just released. Bud Dupree did not practice today on Wednesday with an injury. Limited participation today. Caleb Farley was full participation yesterday with a shoulder injury, did not participate today. Is that a little bit of a red flag?
I don't think it's necessarily a red flag because, let's be honest, at this point, Farley is not really a factor in the game plan. So, I mean, I don't think it's something to be concerned about. And it just gives the young man more time to work his way back from the back situation that he dealt with.
And, I mean, back situation, shoulder situation, it makes me feel sad for Caleb Farley that this is the way that his NFL career has begun. And it also makes me feel sad for the Titans that this is yet another first-round pick that they will not get any sort of participation out of.
I wouldn't be sad about the front end of my career. It's if that would end his career, that would be sad. I think the Titans are sort of erring on the side of caution and the fact that the kid hasn't played a lot of football the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think that's really what it boils down to. Mm-hmm. He hasn't played a lot of football. And one of the things I heard Jared, he had mentioned, you know, like if Farley is so good, why isn't he healthy? And it's just like athletic ability has nothing to do with your body's ability to heal.
Recovery.
You know, so, yeah, recovery, it's totally different. In fact, a lot of times – you know, when you're like that, look at like Derrick Rose, right? Look at Julio Jones. When you're someone who, you know, generates so much power with how you run or how you jump, you end up causing injuries. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So if anything, it could be related. It's more related to actually being hurt than recovering from being hurt. And I just think like for Farley, he is a very good football player. You just have to give it time. And you don't draft a guy for his rookie season. You draft him for at least 5 years, you know, 4 years of contribution.
What about what the Cardinals did on defense as far as neutralizing Derrick Henry? And that was getting not only penetration, but also sort of taking care of the perimeter and making sure he didn't bounce outside. Do you think a lot of teams are going to take that cue and maybe try to duplicate that in the succeeding weeks?
Yeah, a lot of teams are going to take that cue, and that was essentially what they had done, the Ravens. That's what the Ravens did.
Yeah,
so
Baltimore, yeah.
The blueprint is basically out there. Ideally, what you want to do is hit Derrick Henry behind the line of scrimmage. You don't let that train get rolling, and it's easier said than done, but when executed, you see the results. I mean, we're talking about under 100 yards in the last two games, you know. If you count the Cardinals game, then you count the Ravens one. So, yeah, they're going to have to figure out some ways to kind of get him going and get him involved a little bit more as far as, you know, get that momentum towards the line of scrimmage and keep teams from making him go lateral like that as well.
And I think that is one thing that we definitely saw against the Arizona Cardinals was what, Derrick Henry had 8 rushing yards in the first half? So, I mean, they figured it out. They figured it out quickly. But we talk about Caleb Farley's injury is probably, you know, keeping him out of it for the foreseeable future. And we also know that Amani Hooker, the Titans will be losing Amani Hooker for a decent amount of time due to injury. And Shane Bowen spoke about losing Amani Hooker and how his contributions will surely be missed. This is what Shane Bowen, Titans defensive coordinator, had to say about Amani Hooker.
How much you hate it for, I guess, Amani, who had kind of earned the spot. And now with Bradley, does he give you a guy that you feel good about because of his experience and his knowledge of what they do?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough for Amani. I mean, I hate it for him. I do. As you guys heard 1,000 times, it's next man up, whether it's Bradley, whether it's Dane, whether it's Farley, right? It's next man up. Those guys got to be ready to go. and then we got to kind of see how it plays out, right, as the game's going, how those guys are fitting, how they're handling everything. But excited for those guys' opportunity to go out there and play and make some plays, and they got some shoes to fill, right, because Hook was doing some good things here. It's good to have Byard back there to kind of help with whoever's in there. But looking forward to seeing those guys go.
Some classic coach talk from Shane Bowen. You know, we got its next man up mentality. But he does mention, you know, they do have some big shoes to fill. TD, how concerned are you about this Titans defense without Amani Hooker?
Yeah, I think you're losing one of your best ball hawks. Mm-hmm. So it is something to be concerned about. And he's a guy that, DB-wise, he probably had one of the best camps out of everybody. So that's tough, and it puts more on Kevin Byard, right? Because now, you know, if you drop him down in the box to cover a tight end or cover a slot receiver, okay, Bradley McDougal, he's, I think, a ninth-year pro. Mm-hmm. He's a veteran, but he's not Amani Hooker. Like, you right. don't have that same range behind, you know, your coverage. So it is definitely going to it's a big loss. I mean, I don't think there's any other way you could put it. It's a huge loss for them. Now you have to further figure out ways to get, you know, the pressure up front, right? You know, you got to get pressure with your front four, drop seven, you know, that kind of concept. So, I mean, we'll see how they work it out. But it's just yet another wrinkle that this defense has to try to fix now. It's crazy.
And Bradley McDougal stepping in his absence. I've heard a lot of talk about, you know, Bradley McDougal coming from the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. Maybe that can give the Titans a little bit of an advantage. Do you think that plays a role?
I don't think it plays a huge role. I mean, yeah, there are some points of emphasis that he could deliver to them. But at the end of the day, like, even if you know what's coming, you got to stop it.
Exactly.
You know? So that's what it boils down to. And you could always do things to change signals and different things. Like, you know, sometimes a guy will know, okay, you know, when they do this type of motion, tapping the helmet, that means they're doing whatever.
Right.
And that could
having
be
a little bit of
up.
Insight.
Yeah, that could be switched up. So, and you end up thinking it's one thing when it's actually something else. So that's one that I don't really put much stock in.
TD, the other thing is sort of a fundamental aspect of the game that, you know, we've talked about for years. And that is, if you play slow, it's because you're overthinking it usually. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like this was a team that didn't practice enough together. And at least offensively, they played slow. They've got to play faster. And I know Vrabel mentioned that after the game. Faster means, you know, you've absorbed the system. You've absorbed the scheme, the playbook, whatever. And that's not impeding you at all. And I think that's a really important aspect for Sunday. They have got to play faster on offense.
Yeah, on offense especially, they do have to play faster, and they have to do a better job of taking the fight to the opponent. How do you do that? Well, you don't have the line of scrimmage reset into your backfield. That's the first thing. Everybody talks about Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, rightfully so. These guys are awesome players. They're, you know, fun to watch, but it starts up front. You know what I mean? And if you're not getting any type of push up front, if you're first play of the game, two-hand swipe to the ground because you lunged at Chandler Jones and he makes a tackle for a loss, right? That's not good. Taylor Lewan is your premier player up front. You can't have the game start that way, right? David Quesenberry and Jeff Swaim, the next series, you have, you know, a swim move on Quesenberry, a swim move on Swaim, and next thing you know, J.J. Watt is in the backfield, tackle for a loss. You look at what we said earlier about the play action and getting away from it. You look at what we said earlier about the 4 yards over the first four drives. Well, you know why these drives were so unsuccessful? Because the first play of the game, they were either a minimal gain or losing yards. Or the first play of those series, rather. So it's just like you set the tone from the start. And each series, you know, that first down, it's very important to get some type of gain on that first down because that dictates the other two play calls that you have.
I think you tweeted this out over a week ago, you know, leading into the Arizona game, and I totally agreed. Losing David Long is not insignificant.
Right.
Now, that was a guy who was encroaching on taking some of Rashawn Evans' snaps. You know, this is a guy who, you know, has suddenly emerged, you know, as somebody that the Titans want on the field more than just a little.
Yeah, the coverage aspect, and that's what Shane Bowen said about the third down perspective. What he brings is different. It's a coverage, and you look at where he came from. And I remember when he first, the first day of practice in training camp when he was a rookie, and I asked him about just you're playing in a wide open conference, right? That's where you played in college.
Which I think he led in tackles. So
he did.
So to know he can do that in coverage is interesting.
He was a conference player of the year defensively, you know, and he told me that playing in that wide open conference, right, against those style offenses, he said that made him more comfortable coming to the league. And it's true. And now you're seeing it even more. And what Shane Bowen said about him is a perfect example, right? And when you get into how these backs could catch the ball out of the backfield, now when you get into how sometimes you got to match up against a tight end, those type of things, he is ideal for that. He's better than Evans from that perspective. So, yeah, not having him, that definitely hurts the third down defense, which, by the way, they gave up almost 54% third downs, you know, first downs on third downs. You can't win that way. You can't.
Wow.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into this coming up next, looking into the Titans offense and exactly what can we expect from Julio Jones. We'll get TD's expertise on that. Teron Davenport, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. You are listening to Stillman & Company on 1025 The Game, and we are streaming on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and the Game Nashville app.
Critical mistake. You know, I don't think that those are absolutely that's absolutely nothing that we coach or teach. So that would fall into the category of doing dumb that hurts the team, right there, in bold letters. Goes from 3rd and 1 to 3rd and 16.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. Don't do dumb stuff, to put it nicely, that hurts the team. Now, TD, you followed up with Vrabel about those comments, and you said, you know, basically, was that a call out? Did you say that to say, hey, wake up, Julio Jones, wake up, whenever the ball's in your hands, you got to catch it? And Mike Vrabel said, no, it wasn't. It was basically just a blanket statement. But do you think maybe a little bit there were some underlying tones that was like, hey, Julio?
No, I didn't believe it was a call out. I asked the question because I wanted him to say it wasn't a call out.
Right.
You know?
And that's kind of what we thought was, you know, maybe it applied to Julio, but I think he would say that to any player on that team.
He has.
Yes.
You know, Rashawn Evans has been the victim of that. There were other players as well. So I think really what it boiled down to is he was answering a question and answering that question honestly. That's really what it was. I love the fact that he said, anything that I say on a microphone or in front of the cameras is not something that I've already said to the team. Mm-hmm. And that you have to respect that. You really do. You have to respect that. And then the fact that he mentioned, you know, like coaching the behavior, right? And you can't have that. You do have that back and forth sometimes after a play, but you have to understand the outcome. And I think that's really – or the result, as he pointed out. So – That's something else that was really good about that exchange for him.
And I fully 100% believe that Mike Vrabel was not calling anyone out, that he would do it again, and he said it before, he'll do it again. But do you think the way that Julio could have internalized that, do you think that could be a negative thing? Do you think Julio heard that and thought it was a call out and could potentially cause an issue on this Titans team?
I don't think it'll cause an issue, but I definitely see where you could say, hey, you know, yeah, why'd you come at me like that in front of everyone? You know, I could definitely see a conversation, but I don't think that – now, I don't know Julio Jones from, you know, Jalen Rose that we're looking at on the TV, but at the same time, I would like to think that he has tougher skin than that. You know what I mean? So I don't think it will be an issue. You never know. It's something that we'll see. But I don't think that it's something that he'll take and now all of a sudden start sulking and have a bad attitude and want to come out when a play is called for him and, you know, a lot of the things that have been said of him in the past, you know, when he was in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think there are times where Vrabel at press conferences will take a cavalier stance on certain things. But in the case of Julio, you all, and just the way that he's operated, you know, having the feelings of the players, you know, very much in the forefront of his mind. You know, that's the way he manages his team. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised if he said to Julio, he goes, listen, I'm going to call you out. And he says, because if those guys see that I call you out,
yes,
they know that nobody is immune on this team. And I think that's important. So it wouldn't surprise me if something in that way, shape, or form happened between the two.
That first conversation that they had when Julio Jones was acquired, one of the major things was Mike Vrabel said that he is going to put the most on his best players. That was understood. Here's an example of, hey, look, man, you are one of the best guys here. It was a silly play. I'm going to call it out. But it's no different than me calling out, you know, whoever. You know, it's no different than me calling out guy number 53 on the roster for doing the same thing.
And listen, the way that he phrased it, very subtle. And, you know, and I've learned this sort of a Dr. Phil thing. Okay, you separate the person from the performance.
Mm-hmm.
It was an otherwise smart person doing a dumb bleep thing. It wasn't a dumb bleep, you know, doing something.
Yeah.
And you got to make that distinction, and I'm sure that wasn't lost on the parties involved here.
Excellent point.
And it felt like the only, you know, contribution that Julio Jones had made on the field on Sunday was a 15-yard penalty. When is it, and I'm not implying that it will implode, but if it continues to be lackluster performances, not a ton of contribution on offense, when is it okay for Titans fans to get worried about Julio Jones?
I don't that's hard to put a time frame on that, because I think the other thing you have to factor in is targets, mm-hmm. right? He has 6 targets. I loved what Todd Downing said about sometimes confusing targets with being the first read in the play call. I think that's important. So if Julio Jones knows that, hey, you know what, this play is supposed to get me the football, that could help offset. The reason why I went right to targets is because Julio Jones has averaged 9 targets per game throughout his career.
Right.
He understands that it's going to be different here. He acknowledged that. He said that he just wants to play for wins. However, like he wants to win. However, if you're not winning, that's something that could rear its ugly head. I don't think it will, but that's something that, you know, it could start to be like, hey, man, like we're not winning. You're not getting me the football, and we got to fix this.
Right.
There's an issue, right? So I think that's something to keep in mind as you're going through. But I don't feel like it's going to be an attitude problem. I don't feel like that's going to be the case.
We'll go to your phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll get your questions in for TD later this hour. But for now, we will go to Chris, Titans in Truth.
Yo, how's it going, everybody?
Good.
What's up, man?
TD, you are the man. First off, I wanted to say the first thing, with your whiteboard Wednesday last week, I thought that was incredible.
Thank you.
I think we visited it on IG. That should have been the first play out of the gate. And what I hate is we used to run ourselves the path, and I know it's Derrick Henry. We try to get him going. But isn't it about time we use the pass to set up the run? I mean, it would probably open up a lot more things with Derek, and it will make things easier to flow because, obviously, we don't want to look predictable like we did before. And I think we get the ball out quickly, helps Tannehill stay upright, and it gets the ball into A.J. and Julio's hands, get them involved. So I just think, like, with your whiteboard, that was a great strategic play. Something like that should have been right out of the gate in the beginning. And I just think, use the pass, set up the run. That opens up for Derrick Henry. And I'm going to be funny when I'm saying this. I know everybody will joke with me on this. With the whole Julio thing with Vrabel, it should be like how we play football. Yes, That was a stupid thing that happened. I saw the playback because I was there live. Saw the playback, I'm like, yeah, that was kind of stupid. But now, it's like how you celebrate a victory. Enjoy it on Friday night. Saturday, it doesn't exist anymore. Should be the same way with something like this. Move on. Julio's got to play better. And let's go get this win on Sunday. So that's just my thought.
Awesome. Thank you for your call, Chris. I mean, that's true. I think Julio's been in this league long enough to understand that, hey, what I did was stupid. What I did hurt the team. Now, we're going to learn from it and move on from it.
I don't have a huge issue with what he did, honestly. These things happen, man. Like, it happens. You know, you do have to control yourself, right, mm-hmm. and not – allow it to extend the way that it did, mm-hmm. but you have this back and forth. Sometimes they call it, sometimes they don't. You know, it's just like holding. Like sometimes it happens every play. Sometimes they call it, sometimes they don't. So I don't have a huge issue. Was it something that he shouldn't have done? Oh yeah, definitely. And you're right. He definitely is aware of that. And
gotta have some self control there.
Yeah. You gotta have self control. Mm-hmm. And I think I wonder if that's a part of like the frustration about not getting targeted. You know, so mm-hmm. there's so many ways that you could look at that. End of the day, that was a drive. Like, that was the first drive where they were actually able to put something together.
That was third and one.
And it was annihilated, mm-hmm. you know, right back into third and 15. But Chris has said about, passing to set up the run. Mm-hmm. He is right. However, no matter what, you can't get your tail whooped up front. That's really what it all came down to. You look at the first play of the game. I went back and looked. I have it pulled up here. There were seven guys. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't eight in the box or anything like that. There were seven guys. The gaps, you know, they stacked the inside gap right there, the two gaps, and Chandler Jones just
– And they blanketed the Titans receivers too. That was another important aspect of it. And, you know, you want to talk about, you know, a game of inches or seconds or whatever. Tannehill looks downfield, goes through his progressions, and guys aren't open. And then suddenly you've got a team that, you know, is getting a good pass rush on you anyway,
mm-hmm.
you know, an extra second or two. And all of a sudden, the quarterback's on the ground.
Yeah. And they were blitzing a lot. You know, that was the whole thing that they wanted to do coming into that game was, you know, attack. Attack. That's what they did.
Silly Underdogs Underdog Picks is back. Get your friends or family and play as a group and sign up and play today. Pick the three football underdog teams that you think will win each week for a chance to win weekly prizes like a pair of tickets to a sporting event or to a concert in Nashville. Go to GameNashville.com for the ESPN, the Game Nashville app, and sign up and play now. Silly Underdogs is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Coming up next, we will look forward to Seattle. What does TD think? And what do the Titans need to get together to win on the road in Seattle? We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You're listening to Stillman & Company on 102.5 The Game.
Challenge this week in some way similar quarterback, and maybe how is it maybe even greater with the veteran Wilson?
Yeah, I think there's similarities in their skill set. I mean, obviously Russell's done it at a high level for a really long time, right? He had a great week last week. I think close to 80% throwing the ball. Again, played a lot of football, has seen it all from anything we're going to throw at him defensively. I think the biggest thing for us, man, we got to continue to find ways to affect the quarterback, and we got to continue to find ways to stay tight, right? And it's that fine line, being able to complement each other and do those things. But it is going to be a big challenge for us, especially with those guys they got on the perimeter as well. But looking forward to the opportunity to get back out there and kind of see where it goes.
That was Titans defensive coordinator Shane Bowen on the challenge that they have ahead in Seattle. Well, Titans look like they struggled against Arizona. Well, surprise, you've got Russell Wilson and the Seahawks coming up next, and it's going to be no much of an easier task than you had this past Sunday. Caroline Fenton joined by Teron Davenport for the TD Power Hour. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you've got questions for TD, we'll get to those at the end of the hour. But TD, just some of your keys to victory for the Titans and kind of what you saw week one and the biggest things that they need to address as they go into Seattle and, you know, hopefully get a win on their record in their second game of the season.
I think the biggest thing, you got to score on the first drive.
Mm-hmm.
Either score or three and out, one or the two. Like, you have to do that because that corral, we were kind of talking over the break.
Yeah.
How it gets really loud in there, and it's designed for that. So they will really get on, get going if you start off slowly. And that's one of those places where you just can't have a slow start. It will really put you behind the eight ball because – it's really important to take that crowd out of the game, and that's something that Derrick Henry has said, is critical for them to run, do what they have to do and score to take them away. And one of the other things I think is a key is getting out of avoiding third and long, avoiding second and long, so that way you could actually get into your playbook and do the different things that you want to do, because when you get in third and long, second and long, like likely passing situations, that crowd gets really, really loud. I mean, they keep track of how many false starts they generate.
Right.
That lets you know from the jump, like, this is a place that prides themselves on impacting the game. Mm-hmm. That's why they're called the 12s, the 12th man. So it's really critical not to allow that to get going and have a factor. I think when you also look at that, the communication offensively, you're going to have to go on snap counts. It's no secret, well, not no secret, but it's no surprise that they've added speakers to the field this week. You see two extra speakers. We got pumping that noise, and you have to really learn to talk without talking, right? And hand signals are important. As I said, a silent count is important. These are all things that you have to be able to do. So relaying that stuff from player to player is critical. That's another key for me.
Also saw Racy McMath in a number 12 Seattle jersey.
Yeah.
Any sort of DK Metcalf decoy that the Titans could use to practice.
Well, I mean, you got a big body guy that's fast. I think it could simulate the speed. Obviously, they're two different players. But, yeah, that's a good thing to do. But I just, man, that darn Tyler Lockett. That guy, he's nice.
He is quick.
Man. Yeah,
he's sneaky.
Nice. Yeah, sneaky, quick, just – as Mike Vrabel said, one of the best deep ball catchers in the game. That catch that he made, like over the shoulder, Willie Mays style, like that's not easy to do. And he hauled that thing in. Man, I really, really like Tyler Lockett's game.
Let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Doug is up next.
Hey, TD. I'm concerned about people saying, it's too early to react, overreaction. Well, this is where I'm at. There was a wheelbarrow full of money spent in the offseason. Mm. And when you go buy a truck and spend $60,000 on it, be a four-wheel drive, pull your boat, and it won't pull your boat and it won't get good gas mileage, you hurry up and go back to the dealership and take that truck back because it ain't performing. You don't give it time to kind of marinate. My problem is, if you thought it was bad against Kyler Murray, well, when you see Kyler Murray Sr., a.k.a. Russell Wilson, in his house, and he lights you up, and then the Colts start licking their lips. The numbers are set. Super Bowl teams don't come out 0-3. That's the mark that you were given, Super Bowl mentions. If I'm John Robinson, that wheelbarrow that I spent full of money, I'm sitting it outside the locker room and just put "please donate" on it.
He's like, you asking for a refund, huh?
Hey, when that $60,000 Ford truck won't pull my boat, and he's got bad gas mileage and the front end's out of alignment, hey, I want my money back at the dealership.
Yeah. Well,
you're not getting a bang for your buck. And if you think the Colts are not going to be licking their lips when you show your weaknesses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And fortunately.
So it's time to overreact, in my opinion.
Okay. I could understand what you're saying. As a fan, you pay your hard-earned money for merchandise, right? You invest your time, a good portion of your Sunday watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, fans have every right to overreact and have every right to be upset. However, I just think big picture approach, you can't overreact right now as a player, as a coach. You have to take Sunday's game for what it was, a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And spin it forward to winning games. I think that's really what it boils down to.
And one of the things that, to me, has marked Vrabel's tenure here, and I guess you got to mix in John Robinson. Yeah, I mean, fans can act however crazy they want to. But if you're running the team, I don't want you to feel that way.
Yeah.
Vrabel has always done a good job of managing the season and understanding that there are going to be ups and downs. And this team has not had a prolonged slump, you know, since he's been the head coach. So, you know, again, it's an even longer season, 17 games. I understand what he was thinking in training camp, and I didn't necessarily disagree because 17 games is a long, long season.
Right.
And you want your guys ready. And, you know, maybe the thought is, you know, all right, this is the sacrifice that we had to make, you know, in concession to the 17-game season. We don't like it, but let's see what happens moving forward. Yeah, if they start 0-3, 0-4, yeah, then it's time to start panicking. But I don't think now is the time.
Yeah, and you can't allow things to snowball, right? You can't allow last week to roll into this week, and that's why it's so important to flush it down the toilet, right? You got to forget about it and not let it carry over, and that's critical. And it's just like I said, you know, fans, yeah, you guys and girls, you're welcome to overreact. When I was a fan, rooting for, or as a Mets fan, you know, now, like, I don't overreact.
It's old hat at this point. If you're a Mets fan.
Yeah, it just, yeah.
Stick a fork in him.
Yeah, basically. But, yeah, I mean, like, you know, you have every right to overreact, like I said. But at the end of the day, there's a different requirement for a player, a different requirement for a coach, a different requirement for front office. You can't overreact.
And I think, too, with fans, it's so easy to fall into recency bias because this past week, that's all that Titans fans have to go off of is week one, what they saw against Arizona. Now, if the Titans walk into Seattle and blow them out and have an outstanding showing, then what are Titans fans probably going to say? Well, they have every right to think, well, hey, we're back. This is a Super Bowl caliber team. Mm-hmm. But, I think Keith Bullock was on the morning show the other day on Robbie and Rex Road, and he said, as a player, you can't really settle in and you can't get a good vibe for exactly what this team is until week four, especially this team that didn't have a ton of practice time together, this team that got hit by COVID right before the season started. Once you get to week four, then you have enough games to go off of. You've had enough challenges. You've been on the road that you can kind of get a law of averages and say, okay, this was a good showing. This was a bad showing. This was a showing that kind of showed what we can do, what we're capable of, our ceilings and our floors. Mm-hmm. So I encourage people to not overreact too much, but I can understand why fans aren't happy.
It's funny you said week four, because when you asked me about when it would be time to start getting concerned about Julio Jones, that's exactly what popped in my mind.
Week four.
Yeah, so it's a great point.
Yeah, you know, you need a little bit of time to get your legs underneath you. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Get your questions in for TD. We will get to your questions, any and all of your Titans questions. TD has got the answer for you. TD presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company. Online at FreedomTireGuys.com. CraneWorks and RentalWorks, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. Stone and Company, you can listen to us, of course, every Monday through Friday from 2 to 6 on 102.5 The Game, but you can also watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Caroline Fenton, joined by Mark Howard, filling in for Jared Stillman today, and of course, Teron Davenport for the TD Power Hour. TD, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. We've got some questions for TD. You ready?
Yes, let's go.
Let's get it. So Josh texts in and asks TD, would you agree that in our first drives of the game, the offense should come out with urgency, up-tempo, and pass to set up the run? Seattle's secondary is not the LOB secondary.
Absolutely. The tempo point is that's an excellent point. I think right off the bat, I'm rolling with tempo just to create that sense of urgency because of how slow they started last week. And just this is a team that just start slowly a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like the whole pass to set up the run concept, but I think you have to be careful with that, because when you get those stack boxes and you get Derrick Henry to the second level,
mm-hmm.
he tends to put up the deuces sign because he's gone when he gets to that second level. So it's there's a gift and a curse with that, you know, going against the eight-man boxers. So end of the day, man, like you gotta make plays. They need their playmakers to step up and make plays early, especially at that loud CenturyLink field.
Mm-hmm. What about Russell Wilson and the headaches that he provides now in an offense that he likes a lot better?
Yeah.
Shane Waldron is their new offensive coordinator, and he played to rave reviews last week with the blowout win in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and that Colts defense is no joke. And I think really, you know, the main thing, even when the play is executed as it's supposed to, that's an issue. But, man, when this guy goes off schedule, and they work on that. They work on – like, it's not just, hey, you know, I'm going to run here, you run there. No, it's orchestrated, you know. So that off schedule stuff is tough because he's able to scramble with his eyes down the field, and he scrambles backwards. You know, it's like the old, remember Tecmo Bowl, right? You scramble back 20 yards, and you throw it 50 yards down the field. That's what he could do.
And you got the whole Metcalf, A.J. Brown story, two close friends, of course, who play together at Ole Miss.
Yep.
Speaking of Russell Wilson, a texter texts in and asks, what can the defense do to at least slow down Russell Wilson and that offense? Also, what do we make of Josh Reynolds? Is he playing? If so, can he help us this game? You can start with Russell Wilson in the high-powered Seattle offense.
Yeah, that offense, I think really the main thing is it goes back to what you had to do last week. Mm-hmm. Is just, you know, you have to have a tiered pass rush, right? You know, you got to make sure that you don't allow this quarterback to have a crease where he could find and either make a play with his legs or attack the line of scrimmage and push the ball down the field. A lot of their huge plays come on broken plays in which he attacks the line of scrimmage and he impacts the defense because of the threat that he brings running the football, and then he throws it down the field and it's a big play. So that's something that's it's just like he and Tyler Lockett, those two have, like, I don't know, that's like an innate connection, you know, within them, and they just know exactly, like Lockett knows exactly where to be, when to be there in every single off-schedule situation. And that is something that you can't really defend. And I think that's the issue there. As far as Josh Reynolds is concerned, it's so day-to-day. You know, watching him today, he was working through everything. But, you're like, when you have an Achilles, like, that's something I couldn't imagine having it. Yeah. I couldn't imagine having that injury because you want to hit the gas, but you can't, you know, do it all the time. And that's – He's really day-to-day. There's no telling.
And the other thing is just the need for the Titans to have more of a do-your-job mentality. For example, Jeremy McNichols, the reason why he made the team was he was good in pass pro. Mm-hmm. He was not good in pass pro last Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. TD, I think you make a good point about Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf because – we talked so much in this offseason about how in the world our team's going to defend this Titans offense. You know, when you got two big-time threats at wide receiver and then you've got Derrick Henry as well, I think the Seahawks offense is pretty similar. Of course, Chris Carson isn't the kind of running back that you could compare to Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry mm-hmm. definitely superior there. But, I mean, if you want to stack the box and you got two of the best wide receivers in the league back there. You want to defend one? Well, the other one's going to be wide open. Pass the ball to Chris Carson. So I think that's going to be a difficult task for this Titans defense as well.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, and you could even use those guys as decoys, man. Like, there were a few plays where they had Metcalf run off. He took the covers with him, and Disley slipped underneath and mm-hmm. made the catch. Disley's a pretty good tight end as well, you know, when he's healthy. So, yeah, they have weapons. They have options for sure.
Another texter texts in and asks TD, would you have Taylor Lewan on a short leash early in this game?
No. I don't think you could. Who do you put in place of?
Exactly. And when you're paying him that much money.
Kendall Lamb
at
left tackle, I mean.
No.
What does that do?
Yeah, I think really he's another one. He's working his way back from injury. Mm-hmm. I'm not making excuses for him because his play was bad, and he understands that. But he's working his way back from injury. I think you got to give that time. You can't just put a short leash on him, no.
Jeff texts in and asks, TD to open up the running game, why do we never see a weak side reverse type screen pass from the Titans, much like San Francisco uses to open up their running and passing game? And lastly, do you agree that if the Owen D-line play shores up, that will vastly improve quarterback, receiver, and tight end play on offense?
Yeah, they didn't go to it as much last year, but they did have weak side screen game in there. That's something that they have used. Coach Art actually like used it almost too much, you know. So that is something that they do use. What was the other part of the question?
Other part of the question was, do you agree that if the offensive and defensive line play shores up, that will vastly improve QB, receiver, and tight end play on offense, and linebacker and defensive back play on defense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if you could get pressure with four, your coverage is going to be in better shape. Christian Fulton did play an excellent game, by the way. But, yeah, I mean, that's critical. And even, you know, Mark, we touched on it earlier, right? If you're getting the line of scrimmage reset into your backfield, there's not really going to be much you could do offensively. So, yeah, the trenches, that's really where it all starts. I mean, it starts there. And if you're getting whooped there, chances are you're getting whooped in the game.
Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, obviously the Titans receivers didn't play at the level that you would expect them to. And I don't know if that would have made the difference, but at least giving Ryan Tannehill the opportunity to get the ball to those guys in the backfield. I mean, just get the offensive line, just opening up that opportunity. So Ryan Tannehill had more than, what, 3 or 4 seconds to pass the ball? Mm-hmm. I think absolutely that makes a difference.
Yeah, and you talk about passing to set up the run. And you know, one of the things, like when you have those guys getting beat up front the way that they were getting beat, you don't want everything bunched in there to where they're already getting beat. So, like 13 personnel, the three tight end set, like you want to get away from that kind of thing. I think really the quick passing game, you know, bunch formation, give guys ways to easily get open and quickly get open. Mm-hmm. So that way Tannehill, if he's in shotgun, catch and throw immediately. Hey, look, A.J. Brown, you're one of the best yards after catch receivers in the league. Get yards after catch.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you have to be able to, like, offset areas where you're getting beat. And that's something that I expect Todd Downing to do better as you spin it forward.
Andrew from Dover asks, do you think Jim Schwartz will take over the defense sometime this season?
No, I don't think so. I think that it's going to, you know, still be Shane Bowen's show. And one thing that we have seen with Coach Vrabel, and some people say it's a detriment, but, you know, he's going to exhaust every opportunity for someone to remain in their role, mm-hmm. or even, like, you know, before he gets rid of them. You know, I don't think that's something that will happen in season. I mean, like, look, if the bottom falls off and they go from 54% third downs to 60, hey, you never know. So I'm not going to say never, but I don't think it's likely.
Teron Davenport here with us for the TD Power Hour. Teron Davenport presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and Crane Works and Rental Works. TD, we appreciate you for being here, and safe travels to Seattle.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, Mark and I are going to play a little game of overreaction or fair to say when it comes to the Titans. So we'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, do you want to win a pair of tickets to see the Rolling Stones at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, October 9th? It's super easy to do. All you got to do to qualify is to head over to our YouTube page and subscribe to the 1025 The Game YouTube page. You'll enter for your chance to see the Rolling Stones. One winner will be chosen on Monday, September 20th. So good luck to you. And if you subscribe to the YouTube page, you can watch our show live, as well as Robbie and Rexroad and Darren, Donick, and Chase every day live on YouTube. You are listening to Stillman & Company, and we are live on 1025 The Game and streaming on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and The Game Nashville app.